The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live, 5 o'clock hour. Telephone number 877 Bob Live, 877-262-5483. I don't know the exact percentage, but I would imagine that most of you in my audience agree with most of what I say and what I believe. I hear it all the time. Bob, thanks for being on the air. I agree with most of what you say. People want to make sure that they don't agree with everything I say, which is fine. I would really worry about you and me both if we agreed on everything. But I think most of you agree with most of what I believe, and I would agree with what most of you believe. There are some controversial areas, and here's one of them. Before the break, we were talking about the U.S. military trying to establish that there is no difference between men and women. So in a social experiment, and that's what it was, in a social experiment, the U.S. military, particularly the Army, decided that men and women both would take the exact same physical fitness test. Now, anybody with any common sense knew that was going to be a disaster. I mean, anybody. Men and women are different. We know that. And yet there is this move in our culture and our society to try to ignore that. There's no difference, you know. Joy and I have enjoyed watching this competition on TV called Tough as Nails. I don't know whether you've seen it. It's a reality show, and yeah, I don't know how many people, 12, 14, 15 people. They begin competing, and it goes on for several weeks, and every week somebody is eliminated. And finally, someone is declared tough as nails. Something that you hear constantly through the competition, I think they've been through two seasons now, I don't know. Is that the women will say, we're here to prove that a woman can do anything a man can do. And I always kind of chuckle, because why is that important to you? You know, I don't think I have ever heard a man say, I just want the world to know I can do anything a woman can do. But you hear often women saying, women can do anything men can do. What's the big deal? You're different, okay? You have different capabilities, different personalities. You are built different. You have a different muscular structure. You're hormonally different. You're different, okay? Please understand, different does not mean inferior, all right? Can we establish that? Different does not mean inferior. So the fact that a woman naturally cannot lift as much weight as a man does not mean that she's inferior, because she can do things a man can't do. It just means she's different. All right. So we're seeing this battle in society. It has creeped into the church. Oh, yeah. We are now facing a battle between egalitarianism and complementarianism. That's the technical, somewhat theological term. Egalitarianism and complementarianism. Egalitarianism says there is no difference between men and women in the Bible, spiritually. in the church. Anything a man can do, a woman can do. And again, back to the old Broadway musical, anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. No, you can't. Yes, I can. That has gotten into the church as well. Egalitarianism says God does not see any difference between men and women in leadership. We're not talking about salvation. All people get saved exactly the same way. Men, women, black, white, Asian, short, tall, doesn't make any difference. You're all sinners in need of salvation. We're talking about leadership roles in the church. And the Bible is very clear. There are differences in leadership, just like there are differences between men and women. Complementarianism says we complement each other. Men have roles in the church, women have roles in the church. And we complement each other. We're not in competition to see who's the big honcho. We complement each other. Egalitarian says we're all equal. Now, for the overwhelming majority of church history, listen to me carefully. For the overwhelming majority of Christian history, of the Christian church, the theological biblical position has been complementarian. And it says men are to be the pastors and the elders. As it doesn't mean that women are inferior or less important. The way I explain it is parents and children. Well, parents are in charge. They're in charge. Does that mean that they are superior to their children and their children are just inferior little servants and slaves? Of course not. What parent would not die for their children? What parent does not believe that the needs of their children are more important than their own? It is not uncommon at all for parents to sacrifice for their children because they believe their children are more important than they are. And yet, the parents are over the children. It's a matter of roles, not importance. Same is true in the home. The Bible very clearly says that the husband is the head of the home. Is he more important than the wife? Of course not. The Bible very clearly says that a man is commanded to love his wife as Christ loved the church. How much did Christ love the church? He was crucified for his bride, the church. That's how much he loved his church. He put the church's needs above his own. He sacrificed everything for his bride, the church. And husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church, to put them first, to sacrifice for them. But he's to be the head of the home. Can I repeat again? I'm being very repetitious intentionally. It is not an issue of superiority. It is not an issue of importance. It is an issue of roles. And the Bible's pretty clear that men are to be the preachers, men are to be the elders. Paul is very clear about it. And this has been the position of the Christian church for the overwhelming majority of 2,000 years, and the overwhelming majority of Christian churches and denominations until recently. Egalitarianism was unknown, except in a handful of small Pentecostal denominations. A very small handful of Pentecostal denominations who were egalitarian But again, they were in the very small minority. That is changing. Just like our culture is changing. And here's the problem as I go into this break. We are not to change with the culture. We are called to change the culture. We are not allowed, we are not to allow the culture to change us. But it's happening in one of the most influential churches in America, and it's sending shockwaves through the Christian community. Hang tight, I'll tell you about it when we come back.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
I sincerely hope you were listening to the previous segment, because that's the foundation for what I want to get into now, and I don't have time to go back and repeat it. But in our culture and our society, there is a movement by the liberal left trying to force us to believe that there is no difference between men and women. Anybody with any common sense at all knows that there are great differences between men and women, and we should celebrate it. It's wonderful that there are differences. It's not wrong. It's not bad, because it's not about superiority and inferiority. It's about difference. In the Bible, there are differences between men and women, obviously. And in the church, there are differences in roles for men and women. There are differences in the home between men and women, husbands and wives. There's a difference in the home between parents and children concerning roles. But egalitarianism is creeping into the church. Now, it took over the mainstream, mainline Protestant denominations years ago. Women pastors, women elders, and so forth. That's been in the mainline Protestant denominations for a long time. What has happened to them? They're either dying or dead. Did the women pastors do that? No, that's just a part of it. But that is a part of it. But it's creeping into evangelicalism. This headline from a couple of days ago just shocked me, and I didn't believe it. I really didn't until I checked it out, and it's true. Headline: Saddleback Ordination Service Sparks SBC Discussion Over Women and the Title of Pastor. This is Rick Warren's church, Saddleback Church in California. I think they have 19 different campuses now. On the church's Facebook page on May 6th, they posted a picture of women being ordained. And here was the caption. This is on the Facebook page from Saddleback. A historic night for Saddleback Church in many ways, as we tonight ordained its first three women pastors. Quote, a historic night for Saddleback Church in many ways, as we ordained its first, the church's first three women pastors. Now, this is troublesome on many different levels. Number one, I personally think it's unscriptural. And I feel strongly about that. Again, I believe that God has designed order in the church, in the home, the family, and so forth. I believe this is a violation of that order. That's the most important thing. Secondly, Saddleback Church is probably one of, if not the best known, Southern Baptist churches in America. All Southern Baptist churches are autonomous in the hiring and firing of pastors and so on and so forth. But They all subscribe to a doctrinal statement. And that doctrinal statement has changed slightly through the years. The most important change was back in the year 2000, the Baptist Faith and Message. And it clearly says that men are the servant leaders of their home, and that the role of pastor and elder is reserved biblically for men. That was agreed on by the Southern Baptist Convention, and every church who affiliates themselves with the Southern Baptist Convention is expected to hold to that doctrinal position, because it is, it's not an ideological thing. It's a doctrinal, theological position that characterizes the Southern Baptist Church Convention. Now, the Southern Baptist Convention is going through a time of real stress and trial. Their convention this coming June is probably going to be one of the most important in many, many, many years. This is going to add to the division, to the confusion, the decision by Saddleback to violate the theological principles of the denomination that they are voluntarily in cooperation with. This is going to cause enormous dissension. It's going to cause enormous division. It's going to cause enormous controversy. And it is going to put a very negative spotlight on the Southern Baptist Convention, sadly. If they were going to take this position, okay, they should have quietly withdrawn from the convention. Just quietly. Send a letter to Nashville to the headquarters. The president currently is J.D. Greer, and say, hey, we've enjoyed being with the Southern Baptist Convention, but we've decided to go a different direction theologically, and so we're going to leave the convention. Okay. Then you do whatever you want to do. But they didn't do that. And I'm so incredibly disappointed in Rick Warren, which I've just had enormous respect for Rick Warren. Many, many times when Rick Warren was under fierce attack by other people, I defended him on this program. Did that repeatedly. I'm very, very disappointed. I'll explain why, take this a little further when we come back, because it's important.